It's time now for the Right Foot Business with your host, Nick Herleman, CPA. This podcast is presented for informational purposes only and is not a substitute for obtaining qualified professional advice in your own locality. You should not act on the information provided without seeking the services of your own accountant, financial advisor, attorney, or other qualified professional. No client relationship is created between the listener and any of the hosts or guests of this program unless they are formally retained in writing. This is an opinion-based talk show.
We're back with another episode here of Right Foot Business. Today in virtual studio, I've got Jake Spurley. Jake is pretty well-known youngster, I would say youngster in our area, for his event management and different business ventures and things. But welcome, Jake, to the show today.
Thanks, Nick. Glad to be here.
One of the things, you know, give us a little background just on what, you know, what you've been working on with the event management and things like that too, just so the listeners know what you're up to.
Yeah. So we kind of have two divisions of the FAME team. We have our software side, which is focused on providing a comprehensive event management platform for event managers and people in the industry and alike, really to streamline the processes found in the event industry. We also have the pro services division, which deals with website design, graphic design, social media management, marketing, all things digital services that an event or really a business could need.
Okay, that makes sense. Those two go hand in hand. And
yeah.
So the reason we're even having, you know, kind of our, we decided today would be a good topic too, is just around, you know, there's, you know, we're in the middle of COVID-19 right now, we're recording this episode, and the, you know, being able for many small businesses are suffering, and being able to sort of pivot is what, you know, kind of came up when you and I were talking the other day. And that's, you know, that concept is, I mean, challenging for many small businesses. They aren't as fluid for that kind of thing, but having that ability. So I think, you know, that's something I definitely wanted to talk about, and what I kind of wanted to hear on the air, you know, what kind of pivot you guys are making, and you know, what you're seeing maybe some of your clients and things doing right now too, to make lemonade out of the situation right now.
Yeah, absolutely. It's been definitely a time that none of our customers have expected. You know, a lot of the events that we work with are having to cancel their event, postpone it, reschedule, which is something that most all of our customers have never had to do before. So it's definitely uncharted times for them. But for us, you know, our software is still running great. Events are still able to use that. But on the pro services side, we mostly just focus on providing, you know, our services to the event industry. And that's one thing that we've internally had to pivot a lot with, is opening up our services to not only events and people in the event industry, but small businesses and, you know, any business that could utilize the service of, you know, graphic design or having a new website done. And the big thing for us that we've found great success with is listening and understanding to what pain points customers or small businesses are having, and seeing how we can pair that profitably with the services that we offer. And we came to realize that a lot of small businesses don't have websites. They don't have, you know, any graphics. And the reason why they don't is they don't know where to start. So we were really able to provide a comprehensive package that fit small business needs and to alleviate their pain points while also getting them on the map now. Because we come to find out that being on the map and being on the internet is right now is probably the most crucial time to do it, when nobody can visit your business in person.
Yeah, absolutely. I think a lot of people, we talked a little bit on one of the other episodes just about how, yeah, I mean, people are having to reinvent. They're having to just, you know, figure out new marketing channels, new ways to connect with customers. And I think, you know, that's, you know, that's where you guys are moving into that space more for the more general business, it sounds like.
Yeah. Absolutely. We've come to, I mean, even with our, the events that we're working with, they're having to pivot their whole structure too. We have an event that is attempting to do the event 100% digitally. So instead of attendees, you know, attending the event in person, they're going to attempt to live stream it and do kind of like a pay-per-view type deal. So you pay $10 to do the event or whatever it is. And a lot of other ones are trying to pivot and salvage with fundraising ideas, packages. It's kind of similar to the buy a gift card now to a local restaurant and don't use it until times get better. Kind of this, kind of the same concept there of, hey, you know, buy your ticket packages now and we'll give you some deal and you can use it for 2021 or whatever that looks like.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. That way they can get a little cash flow moving and be able to, they all have staff. Most of those events have staff, paid staff and things. And so as long as they can keep people paid through all this, and as we're finding out, as we're unfolding that, I mean, in recent news, you know, this morning and yesterday is like, lots of people are not going to get their PPP money for payroll. So it's kind of, it's interesting. So they've got to figure out their best way to do it themselves, I think, is what we're all realizing.
Yeah, absolutely.
But so they're, okay, so they're doing gift card. I mean, basically, they essentially are the same as a gift card. That are the, I mean, like fairs and things. I mean, is that what fairs are looking at doing? I mean, is it, because, I mean, they have rides and, you know, obviously exhibits and stuff. Pretty hard to do any of that. Are they going down that similar path too?
No, fairs are pretty stuck on having to reschedule or completely cancel. Actually, big news out of California yesterday in our industry was the San Diego County Fair had to cancel, and that's a couple hundred thousand person fair. One of the most prominent ones on the West Coast, and they had to cancel for 2021, reschedule to 2021.
Right.
But fairs are kind of, that's really their only option. They can't go digital. You know, there's some that are looking like concerts, smaller concerts, that are able to utilize the live streaming aspect. There's also a bull riding that they're trying to do digitally as well. That one will be very interesting to see if they can pull that one off.
right.
But I mean, I guess most customers don't understand the overhead and the small soft costs that's associated with doing anything. And especially in the event world, you sign contracts and you have to put usually 50% down deposit for all your entertainment or all your services.
Right.
And that's always non-refundable. So even though the event doesn't happen, they owe all their entertainers, all their stage providers, all their, you know, insurance companies, whatever it is, all these hefty checks that they already paid out, hoping that they're going to have the event. Now they're kind of dead fish in the water at this point.
Yeah, I mean, most of that, I mean, and that's funny because I push it further too and think about the, I mean, a lot of those entertainers and things are all small businesses too, right? So they got a deposit, but they probably already spent it too, you know, or whatever on the next thing, you know, on their costs and their overhead and things. But then you have, I mean, all those people their revenue stream is just gone. I mean, I think, you know, you are seeing, of course, like I'm watching some of my favorite bands and things like that online. And I find, you know, there's a big concert thing tomorrow night, I guess, too. But, you know, that revenue is gone. People are trying to reinvent themselves. But I mean, you know, the YouTubers, I mean, they're probably doing the best in all of this, which is kind of funny, you know, but the regular entertainers who are used to doing it on stage or, you know, events and things like that. I mean, if they aren't set up for that or didn't already have a following, I mean, they should probably try and hustle now and do it so they can maybe get some revenue going too, tap their fans. But I mean, that's a different world for them.
The other thing on, I don't know if it really falls under pivoting, but so we run the Northwest Bullfest, and we've really saw this or taken this as an opportunity. So we realized, you know, we have thousands and thousands of dollars of sponsorships that get allocated to our event. And we realized that it's probably very important for those businesses that put forth that sponsorship money to potentially have that capital back, just have liquid cash to, you know, pay the bills.
Right.
So we sat down, we didn't sit down, we emailed all of our sponsors and said, hey, you know, this is what we're thinking. How important would it be for you to get that, you know, that liquid cash back into your account so you can pay your bills? And we realized that just listening to our partners and attempting to show that above all else, we want to do what's right for the people involved in our event went way further than anything else we could have ever done. It's just the thought of like, wow, this event is thinking about us on a much bigger level than just being a sponsor. They're thinking about us on like a business longevity and like keeping our business alive. And by talking to them, some sponsors were like, yes, we will, you know, we'll do the sponsorship again next year. But if we could get that, if we could get that cash back now so we could pay some of our bills, we'd be so grateful. So by doing that, we really created raving fans that will probably sponsor the event till, you know, the end of time. So I thought that was pretty interesting that we're doing as well.
That's definitely I've been pushing that in our staff meetings for our CPA firm, and that's, you know, everything we can do to help our clients, you know, in need right now is kind of, you know, is kind of how we're operating. And I think, you know, since tax season was slow, that's, I'm hoping it will also go a long way. You know, I think we've tried to help as many as we can with the, you know, applying for the different loans and things like that too, but it's just ways to check in on them, you know, and I mean, allowing some terms and things like that too. I mean, it, you know, for people to pay a little later for their taxes or, you know, stretch it out a little bit just to help people through it, which is hard to do because sometimes then we don't get paid, but you know, just things like that. I mean, just putting the clients first in a way so they can, you know, you're there to help, I guess, too. And that's the same for you, right?
Yeah. And I think, you know, one last note here, I think when we think of pivoting, I think a lot of us think of how can we pivot our whole business, but I think you can look at that at a lot smaller micro scale in how can you pivot your current practices, right? Because a lot of people probably right now aren't purchasing products immediately. But if you can change and pivot your terms from, you know, net 10 to net 45, you can still make the sale and then, you know, leverage your terms on the client to pivot how your practices are so you can still obtain the business.
Yeah. No, that's true. That is one of the things about. Well, let's take a little break. If you have any questions, email them into questions@rightfootbusiness, and we'll be at rightfootbusiness.com. And we'll be back with our next segment.
And now back to the Right Foot Business with your host, Nick Herleman, CPA.
All right, welcome back for our second segment here on Right Foot Business. I've got Jake Spurley here in studio, virtual studios, like I've been saying the last few episodes. This is the way of our future here, probably. But lots of fun. We're talking, you know, pivoting in our first segment, just, you know, roughly, you know, understanding how can businesses, in large or small ways, you know, maybe make some adjustments in their business so they can try and capture a little more business in a downtime like right now. Any other thoughts, I guess, to add to the smaller ways? I think we're seeing some people scale back on services just from a cash flow standpoint. You know, hey, I need to not do this. But, you know, I think there's little things, you know, I mean, some of these kind of, I mean, some of your other part of your business with web and graphic design and things like that. You know, there's an SEO and all that world. There's definitely small ways to make pretty good improvements that people are, you know, will notice right now because they're spending more time online too. I think that's something we kind of alluded to, but I think people are spending an unreal amount of time online.
Yeah.
You know, what are you seeing, I guess, or what are you pushing to help people get more noticed, I guess, too?
Yeah. And I mean, I think, like you said, now more than ever, people are forced to go online to check out a business, check out somebody's menu, look at their services more than ever, because they can't go visit their office in person. And we're realizing that, you know, even just simple small tweaks to someone's site can make drastic improvements in the incoming leads that they're receiving. And one of the interesting things that we've learned is a lot of people think that, you know, it costs an exuberant amount of money to do, you know, build a website, make your website better. And it's just not true. You know, there are so many things that we can do on a budget to really improve a site. It's just absolutely unreal.
Yeah. Well, the tools have gotten so good over the years. I mean, I did web work way back, you know, in the early 2000s, and the tools have come a long way. Let's just say that.
The tools have come a long way, and they have definitely gotten a lot more budget friendly. And that's one thing we really try and pride ourselves on, is, you know, coming up with a comprehensive package that fits the customer's budgetary needs. And if that works out to be, you know, breaking it down into a payment plan, especially in these times, we're always happy to do that. But it's always awesome when you do just a small update to a customer site and they email you and say, "Hey Jake, we got like 5 more leads today." It's like, yeah, it's possible. I promise.
Yeah, there's a lot of little, maybe this is a good time too, but, you know, what are, you know, some of the, I don't know, quick hit tricks that you guys maybe use? I mean, there's stuff that we all see out there, you know, we get on mailing lists, we get, you know, get different things going. But I mean, what are you seeing as some of the better bang for your buck kind of things like that?
Yeah, I mean, I think mailing lists are somewhat dried up now. Yes, people still put in their email address, but, you know, after everybody doing it for 20 and 30 years, people have kind of caught on that they don't need more junk emails. So one thing we've really been pushing hardcore is integrating your social media platforms across all your social outreach. So if that's including and integrating your Facebook website and your Instagram page onto your actual website, we've seen great success with that, because now when they're scrolling on your website, they don't have to, you know, put in their email address. They can simply look at your Facebook page while they're already sitting on your website, give it a like right there, and they're not giving you any of their personal information. But on the back end Facebook side, they are, because they gave you that like. Now they're associated with your page, and then you can look at the demographics on the back end from there. So that's one thing that is super, I would like to say, nonchalant for a customer to do. They don't even realize that they're doing it. You know, it's, oh yeah, I'm just liking a page on Facebook. But now you've kind of captured them in some regard. We're figuring out more ways we can make visitors, we use the term sticky, is great. And the easiest way to create a sticky customer is by getting them engaged on all your platforms. So I think beyond the social media integration standpoint, also been embedding, so you can embed Facebook Messenger and messaging platforms onto your website, so that when a customer visits your site, they can seamlessly start chatting with you in real time on your website. Okay. And that creates just a lot more open kind of feel to your site, that somebody is always there to chat with them. We're seeing a lot more customers reach out to businesses from their website on the open chat stream there, because it's more convenient for them.
Right. The new version of the contact us form, essentially.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, and everybody's so confident, or, you know, I shouldn't say confident, but comfortable with, you know, across a lot of demographics, you know, as far as like, maybe they're buying stuff on the Facebook Marketplace, or, you know, doing things like that, where they're already private messaging people, or they're, you know, they're used to chatting a little bit more, even demographics that are not used to doing that, I guess, traditionally. And so I think you're right. If they can do it right there, their comfort level is a lot higher.
Absolutely. And I mean, it doesn't take much for somebody to click a little chat bubble and say, "Hey, what is X?" And then, you know, we see once you can get them to at least send one message, it's a lot easier to lead them down your sales funnel, whatever your funnel may be, and make them from a visitor into a hot lead into a customer.
Yeah. Now, are you, I assume it's just kind of a plug-in for whatever platform you're using, maybe a WordPress or something like that. There's a, you know, Facebook widget plug-in of some sort, right, that you would plug in.
Yeah, there's all sorts of tools and plugins we can use for someone's site. The one that we have found good success with, just because everybody has a business Facebook page now, is Facebook has an integration it's a chat bubble that goes directly into your Facebook business account. So it'll show up as just like an inbound message into your Facebook page. And then that communication basically happens from your business manager platform or the app on your phone. That one's easiest to use, but for larger businesses who want to streamline that into their CRM, there's definitely options to integrate with whatever CRM they use.
So now, you know, I mean, I think the purpose of the email list in the older, you know, I guess previously was more around, you know, okay, hey, we can, you know, constantly hit these people with different things daily, weekly, you know, whatever your cycle was. But then, you know, with getting them on Facebook in this way, either through a message or just liking your page, now I know that Facebook, I'm sure, has all this data, but let's take it the next step, I guess. Are people able to utilize that? Are they, you know, how, you know, you've looked at something on Amazon and all of a sudden it's showing up on Facebook, or you clicked something related. I mean, in my world, it's, you know, if I click something guitar related or something like that, then all of a sudden I get, you know, I've got master classes by this guitarist and different things like that. You know, what are small business owners able to capitalize on some of that too, I guess, from what you've seen?
Yeah. So Facebook has what they call pixels, and you can integrate. So every business page has their own unique pixel code. So you can integrate that unique Facebook pixel code in with most plugins, most sites. So that way you can kind of see where things are coming from, and then you can convert those leads based off the pixel identity code. And then when you're targeting people through your Facebook advertising, if you're advertising on Facebook, you can associate where that lead came from with the pixel code. So you can kind of more, I guess, narrow down who you are targeting based off that certain ad.
Well, and they let you do, I know in some of like when you start boosting or, you know, or paying for Facebook ads, I mean, I know you can really dial in your demographics, but do you know if they pull in some of that information based on who has liked and, you know, things like that? Do they catch some of that demographic and re-leverage it, at least even just for Facebook ads, I guess?
Yes, they definitely do track who, who's liked your page. And you can set up the demographics of, hey, only show this to somebody who's liked my page, or hey, only show this to somebody who was an inbound lead from my website. It definitely does take some fine tuning to set it up properly, especially when you get a lot of the integrations and pulling from multiple platforms. That's definitely possible.
Okay, I see. Let's take a quick break, actually. We may continue on with some of this, but I want to take a quick break here and we'll be right back. Shoot your questions in at rightfootbusiness.com and we'll be right back.
And now back to the Right Foot Business with your host, Nick Herleman, CPA.
All right, welcome back to another segment here on Right Foot Business. We're talking with Jake Spurley here, and we're kind of getting into the last segment. We were talking a lot about the, you know, Facebook and marketing within there, and so I think we want to continue expanding a little bit on that too, and what other things can play a role in there, and what other platforms too. So I think we were talking during the break, you know, some of the graphic component of that too. And I guess, what do you mean by that? What other things can be done within that to make it more catchy, I guess, for the customers?
Yeah. So I think, you know, anybody can post a picture or throw some comments on Facebook. But you really try and associate your social media with what your brand actually is in person. So if you're posting photos that doesn't match your brand, it really doesn't do much justice for the consumer, because they're not associating it with your brand. They're just associating it with, oh, it's, this is some random picture. Let's keep scrolling. So I think that's where the power of custom graphics comes in, you know, of putting your logo on every single photo you're posting. You know, if you're, let's say your business colors are orange and blue, like ours, you know, giving your photos maybe a, you know, a hint of orange in the corners, or, you know, a shade of blue or something on there, just that that way people are associating everything you're posting with, you're posting with your brand itself, whether that be the logo, the colors, your slogan, whatever it is. Because if people aren't associating your brand with what you're posting, I don't want to say it's useless, but we're finding that it doesn't convert viewers into customers, or, you know, it doesn't really create brand awareness.
Yeah, so that's interesting. So maybe, yeah, just the outline or the or corners of it, like you're saying. But, and then, I mean, are there, you know, are there, I mean, you say custom, you know, but does that mean, you know, is it better to have, you know, pictures of said owner, you know, doing this or that? Or is it, you know, or is it, you know, more canned photos still okay? Or, you know, I guess you're trying to make it more personal. I know, just from personal experience, when you're posting things, you know, if it involves, I don't know, certain things just do better than others. And I think if there's actually pictures of people, you know, or people that work for you or things like that, I mean, I think it goes further. I don't know. Do you have any thoughts around that?
Yeah. I mean, people love to feel engaged with your brand. And I think a lot of times people who just haven't dug deep into Facebook algorithm, how it works, think, you know, just posting random pictures of, hey, here's a sale for this, or, hey, look at our new display, whatever. They think that's okay. And that's, you know, that's totally fine. But your customers like to feel engaged with everything that your business is doing. I mean, everybody likes to feel heard and feel like they are a part of something. And the best way to do that is to create engaging content for your customers. The best way, best posting we found is videos. So, you know, if you're a woodworker, post videos of you making stuff. People go crazy over watching somebody else make something. And because that, on the flip side, they're learning too. You know, if you're a bake shop, you know, post a video of you icing some cupcakes. There's just so many things, you know, little things of what, you know, let's say you're a racetrack, you know, what is your favorite memory of coming to XYZ racetrack? Because you're building a more personal connection with them that makes them recall positive thoughts on your brand that kind of makes them a more, you know, you can call it a more sticky customer.
Yeah, that's kind of funny. I think definitely locally we've seen, you know, some of the organically, one restaurant is doing, you know, pre-made drink mixes and things like that and sending you off with that as, you know, takeout only, of course. And they're having a lot of success with that, it seems. And I don't see them necessarily posting it so much, but everybody else is excited about it. So it's getting posted a lot. And then like, I mean, you use the bake shop, you know, point too, but there, I've seen one that's, you know, definitely doing some very interesting things, doing the video, doing TikTok almost with it too. That seems to be helping. I don't know. They seem pretty busy. I went over and got something one day, which I haven't really eaten out much, honestly, but I mean, there was, it was like three cars deep picking up curbside, and I'm like, wow, okay, well, maybe that's the move. But you, the connection and the positive feelings towards your brand, I think is what you're, you know, what you're getting at.
Yeah. And I think creating, yeah, you're right. The emotional connection is huge, and matching whatever your business brand is, whatever your business energy is, how can you transform that to a digital platform, right? So if you're a racetrack, how can we get that feel of like your heart pounding when the cars are racing by you? How can we get that same engagement on a digital platform? You know, if you're, hey, I don't know, let's say you're a CPA firm, right?
okay, I'm ready for this one. Let's go.
Yeah, here we go. you know, you bring peace of mind to businesses by, you know, keeping up on their payroll, their bookkeeping, you know, making sure their taxes are all straightened out and all the services you offer, that brings immense peace of mind to business owners. So how can we, you know, portray that peace of mind that, you know, hey, we've got you covered 24/7 feeling on social media?
Yeah, that's a good point. I was going to say, I don't think anybody wants to see us like, you know, putting numbers in a tax return or anything like that. Like, I don't think that's going to be like the exciting video we're talking about with icing on a cupcake.
Nope.
Those two are not the same.
Nope, not at all. Not at all.
That's interesting. Now, I mean, one question we were talking about during the break too is around, you know, the different platforms. And it's funny, I wasn't thinking of TikTok originally, you know, which is, I mean, my kids want to be in on that too. And it was funny is it's really engaging, and I could see it as somewhat of a platform in certain ways. You know, I mean, it is a nice little platform. But I don't, what are the other tools or what are other social media? I mean, we talk quite a bit about Facebook, but are there other, I guess, is there anything else on Facebook, but is there other platforms you're seeing success for types of businesses or anything like that?
Yeah. So it's really based on what your business is. We are finding in the event industry, TikTok works for some very specific events. Others, it just doesn't. So you're more live concerts, bull riding, kind of in the moment events are great for TikTok. Things that have to do, like we do social media management for a racetrack, and their target audience is not on TikTok. Their target audience is between 40 and, you know, about 65 year olds. And that audience just isn't on TikTok. If that audience was on TikTok, TikTok would be absolutely outstanding for them because they create an emotional feel, you know, your heart pounding, racing, that's perfect for TikTok, but their customers just aren't on the platform, which is very unfortunate. And then same thing with Instagram. Instagram would be a great platform for the racetrack as well. But again, their target audience just is not on Instagram. So they're mostly forced to stick with Facebook just based off the demographics and what people engage in their industry. But yeah, we're seeing great success with linking, you know, because you can link your Facebook and your Instagram accounts and cross promoting those. And I think we, you know, when we think of social media, just like we alluded to, we think of, oh yeah, Facebook. There's so many options outside of it. You know, Instagram, LinkedIn, TikTok, Google Plus, all those things that the power is really there. And we really encourage, you know, most of our customers to sit down and map out who is your target audience and what does your brand bring to the table? Because then once you kind of get it all on pen and paper, you can really understand where you need to guide your attention. Like for most business to business or customers we have, it makes sense to go on LinkedIn because you're targeting high profile customers who you probably aren't gonna engage on a silly TikTok video.
Right. But like doing fun, I mean, I would go back to the cupcake idea, you know, if you do something fun in your bakery or something like that, you know, you on TikTok, I mean, that is probably some of those people. And that's probably even some of those kids that are going to bug their parents to go, hey, I want to get that. That looks really good today or, you know, whatever. I think that's, you know, yeah, I think it's understanding your demographics is what you're, you know, getting at.
Yeah. And I think the other thing we can look at, what is your goal? Because I think it's very smart to, you know, have a very professional LinkedIn where you are truly trying to convert and churn new business just on LinkedIn. But then you can have, you know, maybe an Instagram page of where your goal on Instagram is not to churn more business and build up new leads. It's solely to build brand awareness and, you know, bring what your brand has to offer and its energy and its vibe to the table so that when somebody sees you on LinkedIn, oh yeah, I saw them on Instagram. They did some, you know, really cool video, whatever. So I think building brand awareness on one platform and being super serious on another platform also makes a whole lot of sense.
It's kind of funny. I mean, I've been doing some personal videos on Facebook just recently for fun and not related to the CPA office, but it's funny because I think I've gotten a couple of leads based on that, to be honest with you. And it's just, it's a different, it's seeing a, an accountant in a different light, I guess, is, you know, but it's still just one other way that's feeding back to the, well, they know what I do. So, or they can quickly see what I do, where I work or things like that. So then all of a sudden, like, oh, we need an accountant, you know, it, I guess that's a real life example right there that I'm seeing just right now.
Yeah. Yeah. I think, I mean, just giving multiple angles to your business is crucial. You know, I think a lot of people get super caught up in, oh, I need to be super professional, but everybody's super professional. And the way you're going to win new customers, especially in this day and age, is by differentiating yourself. And if that's by, you know, rocking to you every morning,
maybe, that's right. You
know, maybe that's what you do. Or, you know, maybe if you're the business owner, you go on there and give it like a day in the life, give a behind the scenes view. People love to see behind the scenes because it makes them feel important and that they're really part of something that not a lot of people get to see behind the scenes. I think that's super powerful.
It's just real. I think that everybody knows they want to know that their provider of whatever service or, you know, whatever business is also a human being. It makes a human connection, I guess, is what I'm getting at.
We definitely rock the saying, just be real, the rest will come.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think it's real. They want to know you. They want to feel in touch with you. And that's whether it's real or not, you know, 100% real or not. I mean, most people, I mean, or I guess genuine, I guess, but it still is a way, whether it ends up being genuine or, you know, real or not. I don't know.
Absolutely. No, I couldn't agree more.
All right. Well, let's take a little break. We'll come back and kind of hit a couple other spots we've got on our list. And if anybody's got any questions, email them in questions@rightfootbusiness.com and we'll be right back.
And now back to the Right Foot Business with your host, Nick Herleman, CPA.
All right, we're back here on Right Foot Business with our last segment for today. We've got Jake Spurley here in the virtual studio discussing social. We're on to social media at this point. We started on pivoting, now we're on to social media. But now we'll kind of bring it all, I think, together with, you know, what are some of the tools even? You know, we've talked about, you know, what are the different social media, you know, platforms and what you know, makes some sense for different demographics and things like that. But then also, you know, now, hey, you want to hit all of them or you want to hit these ones, you know, what are some tools you're seeing out there, Jake, that have the ability to hit multiple or, you know, get your message across more of them, I guess.
Yeah. So there's several different, you know, if you want to do the DIY version for managing your social media accounts, there's a few different software platforms you can use that kind of links all of your accounts into one centralized tool that you can then kind of create one post and it blasts out to everything. The problem with that is that you don't want to be posting the same thing on all your social media platforms. You want, because every platform is different, so you should have a different message for each platform. So from our point of view and kind of what we've discovered, there aren't many great tools for managing your social media platform all in one kit and caboodle. That's why we offer the service of social media management, because it just makes it more real. But in other tools that we have seen, that we're seeing great success with, that kind of goes along with engagement, is a company called Intercom. And Intercom allows you to have live chat feeds on your website. They also have a fully integrated help center with chat bots and answer bots. So let's say a customer's on your website and they have the question, you know, where do I get a 1099, or, you know, how do I bake your cupcakes? You can have an answer for that already written up with an article that directly answers their questions, that when they answer it, Intercom will automatically give them back the right answer, so that you're not having to go in there and manually answer every single question. And the chatbots learn your business from a very virtual standpoint, and are able to intuitively answer questions and anticipate what your customer is looking for. So that's one kind of more on the social side. That's an absolutely phenomenal tool.
It's almost scary in a way, but yes. And then I think you were telling me one other time too, so you can, I mean, it has that where maybe it has canned answers for certain questions or canned links, like, hey, this might be able to help you, you know. I mean, in our world, it's very, you know, liability centric, right? You don't want to give bad advice. You can't give the wrong answer. So you probably have to, you know, legally put some, you know, something in there that qualifies it a little bit, just saying like, hey, these links might be able to help answer your question quickly. But then you said, I think you told me before too, that potentially like this software would have ways where you could have it turned on to staff members potentially, where I could have, you know, say a tax preparer or a CPA, you know, monitoring during these set hours of the day and, you know, ready to answer back with a much more qualified answer. Was I understanding that correctly, I guess?
Yeah, absolutely. So you can't, so with Intercom, you can assign certain people to certain hours. So let's say, you know, somebody hops on your website and they ask a question. That question can automatically be routed to a certain individual within your company so that they can answer that question in real time with whatever their real answer is. And if the chatbot, you know, doesn't know the answer, it won't just respond with a willy-nilly answer either. It'll right. actually give you an opportunity, and you can shut all this off, right? You can build it to whatever you want. But yeah, it's super powerful to just have one person on, you know, on staff being able to answer questions live at all times. And we're finding that it creates a real value add to customers when they can go on your website and chat with a real person at any time.
I think that's, I mean, our biggest questions, I mean, from a CPA office standpoint, you know, our biggest questions are around like, oh, you know, hey, I've got a quick question on this, which, you know, more times than not leads to more service. You know, they realize, oh, that's pretty complex. I mean, you give them the answer, but then they, or, you know, you give them kind of, here's what the scenario looks like. And, you know, most times they're like, all right, well, we probably better have you do our taxes this year or something like that. I just don't know that I can put that in TurboTax or whatever. You know, but then the same goes for, I mean, our two biggest ones is that, and then also just, you know, what's it going to cost, you know, just for simple tax prep. I mean, most of the business clients, it's a different thing, but, you know, just individual clients want to ask, you know, hey, what's it going to cost? You know, and here's what I have in my life or whatever. And, you know, that could easily be done over those. And people, I think, in this day and age are more comfortable. They don't want to, you know, they don't want to pick up the phone and call, oh, I need to talk to someone, you know. A lot more want to just have that quick chat. Hey, what's the rough, you know, for doing tax prep with you guys? You know, they just want to, they'd be happy to get that over a system like that, I think, and go, okay, fine. You know, that sounds good. You know, how do I get my information to you, you know, to start the process? So
big time.
I think you can. Using,
yeah.
Oh, go ahead.
Yeah. I think we're kind of understanding more that there's so many tools out there that can all talk to each other and really reduce the time spent on managing all the like finite details with these tools in your social media. Like for Intercom, for example, whenever somebody reaches out to you, it builds them a customer within your profile, and it will kind of surf the internet and try and pick up their email address, their name, their phone number, and create a full contact so that, you know, they reach out to you. You can classify them as a lead now, but let's say you want to retarget them. Intercom can, you know, reach back out to them, send them emails, push them notifications if they haven't, you know, contacted you within 7 days or whatever to really retarget them. And it's a great spot to hold all your information. And just knowing that so many tools can now talk to each other and really alleviate so much of the day-to-day workload for businesses is just absolutely incredible.
I think that, you know, in the time we're in now, I think we're all being forced to realize, you know, how else can we do business and still be successful? And I think it's an eye-opening experience for even some of our customers. You know, I was chatting, I had a phone call yesterday with a client, and, you know, we were just DocuSigning their taxes. It's not, you know, that's pretty common to many of us nowadays to DocuSign things. And, you know, they were just, you know, they're an older couple. they had, you know, they'd done everything by paper before, you know, but now we can't really, and they're kind of at risk for COVID-19. So, you know, they just like, okay, once we've signed on DocuSign, are you, you know, do you just get it back? And, you know, they just had questions around that. But I think what everybody's going to realize and be more used to is some of those kind of things. So people aren't, you know, where you might be worried, like, hey, some of my clients in certain demographics might not be super comfortable with talking to a chatbot online. Well, more and more of them now probably are, and more of them are going to be open to the idea of DocuSign and, you know, some of those kind of things that can streamline your business. So I think business owners who serve, you know, different demographics don't have to be as scared of trying to, you know, trying some of those things that increase efficiency for themselves. Don't be ashamed of trying some of that. And if it doesn't work, you know, you can, you know, if you have a relationship, of course, that's not going to, you know, ruin that relationship. But, you know, hey, we're trying some of these things in light of this. Now's a good time and a good excuse to try some of these things too, I guess is what I'm getting at. Yeah, but I think more of the demographics overall are going to be used to it too. So
I agree. And I think now more than ever is, you know, a time to, I don't know about cut costs, but some people's budgets are very constrained. So they are trying to cut costs. And what we've learned just from a growth standpoint is we are able to get a lot more done when we pay for tools that can do it a lot better than we can. You know, we use, you know, for all of our payment processing, we use Stripe, you know, we use Intercom for customer engagement. We use Fresh Sales for all of our CRM, and we use Calendly for booking everything. And funny enough, all four of those programs all integrate into each other. Nice. So somebody can book a meeting with any of our staff members for a demo or for a website training, you know, all from Intercom through Calendly. You know, when I pull up a customer's, you know, profile in the CRM through Fresh Sales, it'll show their current billing cycle from Stripe. It'll show all the contact info from Intercom. And I think now is a great time to do it. And what I have been pushing on startups is, yes, these tools cost money, but there's a reason they cost money, because they save you time and money in the long run. And they make you just so much more efficient, and it makes the customer facing experience so much easier too, because everything's at their fingertips at all times.
Yeah, what I think is hard in that ROI calculation for a lot of people, and I was telling someone the other day about some of our cloud setup, and they asked, you know, okay, what is the price of that, you know? And I said, well, it's costing me nearly $100 a head, you know, per month. But the efficiencies and working with, you know, software packages that we have to work with, I mean, that's a small cost, you know, for that, to be able to do that. And the efficiencies gained, that's the part of the calculation that people don't always necessarily plug into there. They're just seeing, you know, dollars. Am I, you know, can I generate more money, or can I, you know, but really on the back end, you know, do you need less people? Do you need less other pieces of software? You know, or is it just that much faster, so you can serve that many more clients? I mean, I think that gets lost in the shuffle sometimes in that understanding of, you know, people always say ROI or what, you know, understand your ROI on that. But I mean, this is what you're getting at too. Can it help you be that much more efficient to go do better things in your business that make you more money in the long run?
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, I think one thing that I tell people is, tell me first off, how much money do you want to make? And then break that down into an hourly wage. And
right.
and then tell me, am I going to be making, you know, let's say $500 an hour by, you know, manually setting up meetings? Or is it worth $15 a month to have a completely intuitive platform that does all my scheduling and booking for me? You know, it comes down to, How much money do you want to make, really? It sounds like a very scary thing to say, but you're your own curator of the path. And yeah, if you truly want to waste your time, you know, following up six times to get a meeting, by all means, I'm not saying that's wrong. I'm just saying I think your time could be better utilized doing other things.
yeah, for sure. Well, awesome. If you can send, I want to add all these links. We'll get all these links up in the show notes too, of tools we've talked about and things like that. And of course, links to how to get a hold of Jake. What is the best way, just on the air, Jake, to get a hold of you for any of your services?
Yeah. So anybody, for any of our services, you can hit us up at sales@fairandevent.com. If you're looking for any of our pro services, website development, graphic design, social media management, check us out, FAEM, proservices.com. You can always hit us up on the phone number, 503-410-1451.
Awesome. Well, thank you for joining us today. I'm sure we'll have you back for some more episodes in the future and see what else is going on in the world. So thanks again for being on.
Awesome. Thanks for having me, Nick. Appreciate it.
No problem. And if there's any questions for our show, questions@rightfootbusiness.com, we'll see you guys next time.
You've been listening to The Right Foot Business with your host, Nick Herleman, CPA.